Welcome back to our Twin Steeples podcast. My name is Pastor Neil Radical. As we give thanks today, this June 24th, glad to have you with us. And with me today is our summer pastoral assistant, Vicar Drew Nauman. How are you doing today, Drew?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Neil.
You're welcome. We're looking at our devotion for today from the Gospel of John chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 36.
John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him."
So last week, we spent a little bit of time reflecting on John 5, 28 and 29. That was a couple weeks ago, actually, where Jesus talks about, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." We talked about that resurrection to eternal life. This verse, in the context of John 3, he'd already talked to Nicodemus. Jesus is pointing to us that understanding that everyone who believes in the Son of God has everlasting life, but he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What does that phrase mean, Drew, that the wrath of God abides on him?
Well, it sounds, it's from the same chapter, but this sounds very familiar to the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then immediately after that, "But he who does not believe shall be condemned." So the wrath of God abides on him, probably pretty good, pretty well synonymous with condemnation, that absence of God. You think of the hell that Jesus suffered on the cross, being absent from the Father, like darkness is the absence of light. That's probably what's being talked about. It's definitely what's being talked about here.
Yeah, because John, throughout the rest of the chapter, does talk about, you know, with John the Baptist, in John 1, he's the light, he's bearing witness of the light that's come in the world. Jesus is that light, is the only begotten Son of God. And then pointing out the fact that the reason Jesus came was to suffer, as you said, that wrath that was intended for us. But Jesus, in that great exchange, took on God's wrath for every one of our sins and then gave us his righteousness that we didn't have on our own. Right. And so I think these verses are very important in this day and age when hell is being rejected as something that's real or something that believers or even unbelievers should have to worry about. But what is that? You just mentioned that if Jesus suffered hell on the cross for us, that abandonment, forsakenness of God, how could we say hell is not real? Then what did Jesus actually suffer for?
Yeah, there seems to be kind of a misconception almost in today's age where even some who profess to be Christians are believing that no one is going to go to hell, that hell isn't a real thing, that there's no consequence for sin. And there absolutely is a consequence for sin. We just have the assurance that Jesus has already taken on that consequence and suffered hell in our place so that we no longer have to fear that wrath of God abiding on us. It was spooled up and shot directly at our Savior, and he took the full brunt of that so that we don't have to worry about that. Hebrews talks about how he was the one sacrifice for all time. So now that that's taken care of, we who do believe in the Son, we don't have to worry about that wrath anymore because it's already been taken away.
Yeah, Paul says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So we can give thanks that as believers in the Lord, we don't have to worry about that wrath of God because it's been appeased in Christ. So that's why we need to reach out to anyone in the world who does not believe in Jesus to continue to point them to that way, the truth, and the life as well. Very good. Important verse. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to reflect on your word today. As we see the light through this word, continue to let that light reflect into the hearts of everyone in our lives. Help us show that love that we have for you because of the love that you first showed us. That love laid down your life on the cross, and that love is displayed and demonstrated in everything you say and do for us. Lord Jesus, help us continue to be joyful in this truth that we who believe in you will have eternal life. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you, Drew. As far as announcements go, just a reminder that tonight, this Wednesday evening on June 24th, we're hoping to continue with our Bible study of the book of Colossians. We'll be picking up where Pastor Nauman left last week. And so we look forward to maybe getting through the rest of that book tonight or next week, Lord willing. So hope you can join us tonight. The link for that is on our church calendar or on the in the bulletin from this past weekend. Also, just a reminder that this month, spokesman subscriptions are due as far as renewal goes or new subscriptions. Contact our church secretary, Hillary Lean, if you are interested in doing that renewal or doing that subscription as well. This past Sunday, after the worship service, there was a congregational slash voters meeting where more information was given on some of the Board of Properties work on a sanctuary update. It was decided to paint the side church walls, which, to my understanding, some of the Board of Property and members have said has not been painted for some time. And the whole goal overall from the Board of Properties is to continue on doing some of those updates while that space is not being occupied as much as it would be during the school year or when things are going full swing. So hopefully at the July voters meeting, a more discussion and decisions could be made coming up, as you can look for more announcements from the Board of Property for the plans that continue to be underway for that. Also, just a heads up that VBS registration should be coming out soon. The Board of Ed met again last night, and there is still a plan to do an in-person Vacation Bible School towards the end of July. And so our secretary is planning on sending out registration for that hopefully in the next week. So do look for that. Any follow-ups to that, Drew, as far as those announcements go from the voters meeting or anything there?
I don't believe I have anything to add.
I know Vicar Nauman, our pastor assistant for the summer, will be helping out with the VBS along with Pastor Joe Nauman and others. So I know he's looking forward to being a part of that process also. Just a reminder, too, with our weekend service plans, we continue to require masks. We do still have the singing, so the masks are a good way of just remembering that you're doing that for the other people who are there. So think of it as more of a protective measure for those who are coming around you versus a comfort thing for yourself. So hopefully we'll be able to continue on in the progression that we're having. But at this point in time, we're still asking that you bring and wear masks to those services. But we're glad to be able to sing to the praise of the Lord. I know it's not always super comfortable. I can't imagine what it was like before the church fans or any of that back several years ago. But you know, we're kind of getting a taste of that again and remembering the blessings that we have with fans and no masks when those things do happen again. So this is good reminders of the blessings that we have. So do please come if you're interested, if you aren't able to at this point in time, but if that's okay. But if you're a little bit more concerned about coming, but continue to wear the masks if you do come to protect others as well. So we do have a regular services times at 6 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday. And because of the 50% capacity, we have plenty of room for people to come. So the last thing we're hoping to do today is, as far as more of a doctrinal discussion, we did our devotions from John 3:36. In connection with that, we talked about God's forgiveness and how there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who believe in Him, who see that light, who trust in the Savior. So, Drew, one of the questions I thought would be nice to discuss briefly is, why is obedience necessary if I'm already forgiven and a child of God? So let me clarify that question a second. Why is obedience to God's word necessary if I'm already forgiven, if I'm already set free, if I'm already declared a part of God's family? I know this kind of leads into your sermon. You're preaching this weekend. I'm doing the liturgy. So how would you answer this question? Why is obedience necessary if I'm already forgiven and a child of God?
Yeah, Pastor. Well, the way that this question, and it does pop up with relative frequency, the way this question is phrased is almost kind of putting the cart before the horse. Why is obedience necessary if I'm forgiven, already forgiven, and a child of God? That, for some people, could be taken as a license to sin, you know. I've already been forgiven, and no matter what sins I commit from here on out, they've already been paid for, so why not just go hog wild and enjoy life while I still have it? Unfortunately, that is a pretty misconstrued take on what God teaches us in His Word. Let's go ahead and take a look at 1 John 5, the first four verses. In verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So the sinful nature in us wants to look at the laws of God as a to-do list and kind of like a chore list. You know, we all hate to do chores. But God's law to the new man, since he has sent his Holy Spirit to create faith in our hearts and to sanctify us, now these laws become a what we sometimes call a happy burden. Because we have been saved, we're no longer under the law, we're no longer under that fear of condemnation for our total inability to keep God's law perfectly. But since Christ did come and did keep that law perfectly for us, now it's a joyful thing that we get to serve the Lord in this way. We talked last week about the analogy of the tree and the fruit, with the tree being our faith and the fruit being the works, that keeping of God's law. You don't have to tell a tree to bear fruit. Apple trees are just going to bear apples. That's just what they do. Christians are likewise going to want to fulfill God's word and to keep his law. That's just the way that faith works. Do we do that all the time? No, sadly, because we have that daily struggle of the old Adam versus the new man. But the new man wants us to continue to serve our Lord in the ways that he has prescribed us to in his word, and promises to bless those efforts.
Yeah, I agree with the new man. Christ living in us, that's because we've been adopted into his family through our baptism, through the word of God. And so now as children of God, we get to show him our love. So the question is difficult. Why is obedience necessary if I'm already forgiven, a child of God? It's not necessary to be a child of God, that obedience. It's not necessary for salvation. It's necessary for us to demonstrate our love for the God, for our God, in the same way he's demonstrated his love for us. He's shown it to us. He's declared it to us. He's revealed it to us. And now we get the opportunity to do the same for him. You know, growing up, I knew I never had to earn my father's love, but I always wanted to show him honor and respect. I always wanted to make him proud, so to speak. And so I like your reference from 1 John 5. His commandments are not burdensome because they're done out of love as a believer, as a child of God. Not in a, I have to do this, but I want to do this.
Yeah, I like that. I was going to say that change of verbiage there from I have to do this because God commanded his Old Testament people, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. And they failed, and we fail. But now that we have been forgiven and God does see us as holy for Christ's sake, now we get to. It's no longer a have to, it's a get to. It's a and not a burdensome thing, but a joy.
Is that kind of attitude we want with one another too, if we're making that application to ourselves? And you know, we talk about our love for God, which is the first three commandments, but our love for our neighbor, it's not the, oh, I have to take care of my kids today, I have to watch my kids, or I have to do the dishes or laundry for my spouse. It's, I want to do that. I want to show them that I love. I want to show that, you know, one of the five love languages you and I have talked about is the acts of service, you know. Oh, I have to follow Pastor Neil around all day today. Well, hopefully you want to. Yeah. That same idea is that, you know, with our earthly relationships, if, you know, just like a teenager comes back, kind of what you're saying there, is, oh, I have to do my chores. No, I want to, because I'm so grateful and thankful for what my parents have done for me. And if that's how we can have the attitude towards our Father in heaven, that's the kind of pleasing attitude he's looking for in us, that we're excited to serve him. We want to serve him rather than I have to do this or that, which is certainly not the attitude we ever saw in Jesus for us.
Yeah.
I think for a closing today, we're going to look at one of the hymns coming up for this weekend, hymn 416 out of the Red Hymnal. Just four short verses there, but this talks about the new obedience section. And this really, this hymn focuses on, if you think of it in the sense of this is what we get to do as children of God, it can help us kind of reflect on the joy we have in serving the Lord who so joyfully served us. You want to close us with that hymn, please, Drew?
Sure. So this is, Oh, That the Lord Would Guide My Ways, and the words are written by the famous hymn writer Isaac Watts. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still, Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Order my footsteps by thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear. Assist my soul too apt to stray, a stricter watch to keep. And should I e'er forget thy way, restore thy wandering sheep. Make me to walk in thy commands, 'tis a delightful road. Nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. Amen.